You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I thought it fitting to begin the sermon this morning with a question, and one that you might not be expecting, but it's a question right to you. How are you? Now, I know that seems ridiculous and trite. I mean, I'm the canon pastor. I'm checking on you. But seriously, like, we're 7 days from Christmas. Here we are, and the question, how are you? Craig and I just had an opportunity to teach the dean's class, and we had various clips from movies, which was a lot of fun, by the way, Christmas movies, and trying to find just little vestiges, if you will, of grace and truth. And in one of the films, you know, the dishonesty from Kevin McAllister in Home Alone. He just could not admit how bad of a child he was. So when I ask you, how are you, can you just take a moment in this place? We're safe. Look, no one's judging you. Even in your own heart, just take an inventory. How's it going? The reason I ask that is because we often think this season of Advent, of course, is the commercialization of Christmas, and secular forces move in. We're full on Christmas mode at this point, like it or not, Advent police. We believe that it's the most wonderful time of year and that we're supposed to be happy and joyous and things are just hunky-dory. But if we're being honest, if I'm being honest, things are not always so hunky-dory. They're not always so glitzy and glammy. Lexus ran that commercial for years. They may still do it, you know, December to Remember. I think it was Lexus. And I have to admit, this is not a December that I really want to remember. It's not been the best December for the Gardner family. And I'm not airing my dirty laundry just so you can have pity on me, but just to showcase and perhaps humanize a little bit the role of preacher, that things are not always as good as they might look. We started off the month with a little bout of RSV with our infant child. Thanks be to God, he is perfectly fine, but you know, it's a little scary. And then we all traded strep throat around as the weeks went on. We've all been hit. And then to top it off, we woke up one morning with a flat tire in our minivan. How cool is that? And then, of course, last weekend, the storms. And so we went 3 days without power. That's a first world problem, I'll admit. There are much worse problems in this world. In fact, some among our clergy staff had actual damage to their house. Thanks be to God, I did not. But I went 3 days without Disney Plus. And being a parent in 2023... without Disney Plus, God's purging me of something. I know it. The little bit of damage that we did have in our front yard, our little Christmas tree that we have in the front yard was toppled by the wind. And again, that's the worst that happened. And that little tree became a parable of my life just for a moment. Just pitiful and withering and losing its green rather quickly. Again, I say all this not to be pitiful, but just to say I know those are small problems, and in the midst of that, I know each one of us face real problems. I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek about those things, but and I felt like Jonah a little bit, pitying the Christmas tree, pitying the plant, and God was challenging me, do you do well to pity the plant? But in that, you know, I did reflect, and thinking about you, and again, the question, how's it going? How are you? How are you this 7 days before Christmas? We reflect and we recognize things aren't always so good. And again, in the face of real life problems, some of you this Christmas, this holiday season, are facing grief. You know, you've lost someone, whether from a severed relationship or from death. You're facing the holidays without that special someone, whoever that is. That's a real intractable problem in this life. The holidays just heighten our grief and our problems. Charlie Brown, another clip that we used in our class, Charlie Brown says, you know, I know that no one likes me. Why do we have to have a holiday to emphasize it? You know, no one's sending him Christmas cards. But again, real problems, death. I have the privilege of leading our grief class along with Stella in the fall. And one thing that always touches me from our material is there's a widow who admits that after she lost her husband, that she got demoted to lunch. She got demoted to lunch. In other words, when she was a couple, she had her husband, she was often invited to couples' dinners and you know, evening events. But once her husband died, she was demoted to lunch. Her friends would only ask her to lunch. A sign of her grief, a continual reminder that things are not okay. So maybe you're missing someone this holiday season. Or maybe as the days go on, these next few days, and you're looking forward perhaps to being with family and friends, perhaps, but then you remember, oh yeah, it's my family we're talking about. difficult people, include me with them. Christmas vacation, we all like to believe that they're Cousin Eddie, but we're Cousin Eddie. I'm the problem. But no matter how much we've fixed our behavior or changed our tune over the years, our family always see us in a certain light, and they always see us for who we once were. And they look at you in the corner and think, gosh, no matter how good they seem now, they're still the difficult person. They're still the one who's sensitive. This person is the drunk. This person is the one with the temper. You can't shake that perception. Again, a real problem as we gather for what otherwise should be a joyous occasion, and we're reminded of the brokenness in our own lives, how sin on a cosmic level comes into our individual lives. Maybe you're dealing this holiday season with a diagnosis, whether for you or for a loved one, and the impossible has come to be, that you thought surely this would never happen. I've never smoked a cigarette, I've never taken a drink, and yet I have cancer. Or a loved one is going through a particularly difficult season. You're just watching it, and all you can do is just mourn for them. Again, life has real problems, and the holidays just amp it up and make it all the more apparent. And as we try to go about our business, the next party, the next gathering, buying presents, trying to kind of cover it all up, we recognize that it's a thin veneer, and beneath it all, we're hurting. We've got serious pain. What might God be saying in the midst of all this? What might God be proclaiming to you and to me in our real messes, in our real broken situations? Well, Isaiah 61 speaks to a solution, and God speaks directly into the mess. The prophet says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." And that word poor, you can think of impoverished, but also it can be translated afflicted or oppressed. It's people who by no means have chosen their lot in life, and they can't find a way out. "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." All these things were spoken in a real context to a real people about a real socio-political crisis. But it also applies to you and to me. It's nothing less than the real socio-political setting, but it's more than that. Spiritually, you and I, we are the ones who need that good news this morning. We're those brokenhearted who need to be healed. We are those captives that need to be set free. And again, you can run through the list in your mind of what's causing you the most angst right now, but each one of us face real intractable problems in this life that no matter of effort or reform can fix. Notice what's not said here, by the way. I think this is a helpful exercise from time to time. God does not say, "You should have known better." God does not say, "Try harder next time and maybe it will improve." God doesn't say, "Let me rub your nose in it and teach you a lesson." No, the Lord God sees to it that he's going to set the captives free. He's going to heal the brokenhearted. He's going to open the prison to those who are bound. He's going to preach and proclaim and bring and be the good news to the afflicted. And so this morning, there's no social program, there's no 12-step program, and I'm not denigrating any of these things that can get us out of the mess. God speaks into this, and he's the only solution. Now, as it turns out, again, this is spoken to a real people in real time in Isaiah's day, but Jesus picks this up in Luke chapter 4 when Jesus starts his public ministry. And this is after he's baptized by John in the River Jordan. And the very first thing he does publicly is he goes to worship. He goes to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. This is Luke chapter 4. And he stands up to read the appointed text. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled it and found the place where it was written. And he reads exactly what I just read to you from Isaiah 61. He reads that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him because he's been anointed to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recover the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He reads that exact text. And then he rolls it up and sits down and opens his mouth and says, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, quite explicitly saying, "I am the fulfillment of this word." Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, is the fulfillment of what Isaiah prophesied, that good news would come, that captives would be set free, that all shall be made well because of God and his marvelous intervention. And so this morning, expecting God to drop the hammer on us for our mess, and we have a mess. Again, like Kevin McAllister, let's just take a moment of personal inventory. We have a mess, whether it's things we've done or left undone or just the mess we find ourselves in a broken world. We have a problem that we just simply cannot fix. And that's why the Word became flesh, to come and actually do something about it. I'm always moved in this season of Advent here at our church, the Church of the Advent, to marvel at our windows here in the chancel. And on the left-hand side, you'll notice, if you can see it, and if you can't see it now, perhaps after the service, you've seen it 1,000 times, but on the left-hand side, the first coming, the first Advent of Jesus. He's the baby lying in his mother's lap. And then on the right-hand side, the window is Jesus coming again, that greater Advent. He comes again to judge the living and the dead on his throne of glory. And so the question is posed to us, you know, as we wait in this season of Advent, again, amidst our mess and our crisis and all the problems of this life, what does the church do? What does the Christian do? Well, we receive and proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes again. That middle painting of the Last Supper, it's telling us exactly where our hope lies. Not in social reform, not in programs, not in personal morality, but only in our only mediator and advocate, Jesus Christ, who on the night in which he was betrayed took bread, broke it, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you." He took the cup, gave thanks, and said, "Take, drink, this is my blood which is shed for you." The crucified and risen Savior is the hope and salvation of the world. And so this Advent season, as you're dealing with the intractable problems of life, the things that you and I simply cannot fix, whether we want to or not. And sometimes I kind of like my mess. I don't even want to fix it. God steps into it. And often we think that God's throwing us a lifeline or a buoy and we should just grab on and do our part. But really what it is we're drowning and God reaches in and rescues us. He grabs us by the neck, the nape of the neck, as I'm tongue-tied, and he saves us despite ourselves. And so as we wait for that to occur, that final consummation when all things indeed shall be made well, we have a foretaste in it. And this morning, you and I, as we approach the altar with empty hands, he gives us everything in himself. The God who gives himself is making all things well for you and for me. And going back to Isaiah for just a moment, and I'll close with this. You notice that God brings new life out of the ruins. It's from the ruins, it's from the devastations, it's from the mess that God specializes and brings forth new life. And so if you feel like all you have this morning to bring to the altar is a mess or ruins or problems, thanks be to God, that's what he specializes in. And in exchange, he gives you himself. He gives you himself, Jesus Christ, our only mediator and advocate. And with that, let us pray. Gracious Lord, we give you thanks that in the midst of our human mess, you inserted yourself in the incarnation, but over and over again by word and spirit. And this morning as we approach the table to receive your body and blood, we trust in you. You're our only hope and our only salvation. And so this morning I ask that you would indeed speak real words of life into our mess. It's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.